Good morning, everyone. What we were talking about last week was what? Does anybody remember? Kenny, were you here last week? You weren't here. Why weren't you here? You got a note or? Okay, you're excused then. Ed, armor bearer of God. I don't remember if I was here most of the time. We're talking about being an armor bearer, right? We talked about the historical context, looking in the Bible. It's mentioned 18 times, speaking of an armor bearer. And we used an example, right? Fred's favorite verse of what an armor bearer should be, right? What was that verse, Fred? Do you remember? What was it? We looked at 18 times armor bearer was mentioned, and it was usually always in a good light. We use an example of one armor bearer where his king asked him to kill him, or his leader asked him to kill him, and he wouldn't do it. We looked at another armor bearer that his leader asked him to kill him, and he did it. We said, which was the right one? You know, you could, it was against the law. It was a real sin to kill a king or something, right? So he was actually putting his head on the line by doing that. But yet, without question, he did what his master asked. That's being an armor bearer. I don't think, in the modern context, we're going to run into anybody asking us to kill him. So we don't have to worry about that one, but I was just showing you the extreme, that a good armor bearer should do whatever he's asked. Do whatever's asked of you, right, Fred? But what I use an example was my own life. I'd mentioned that I had not been saved very long, just started in Pastor John's home meeting, and I asked God, you know, what's this all about? What do you want me to do? Why am I here, you know? And this was the second time I heard God speak, and he said, serve Pastor John. Pastor John wasn't a pastor then. I'm not sure if he was a deacon yet. I believe he was a deacon and a home group leader, right? But he said, serve him. So, okay. Of course, I said, okay, but I had no idea what it meant. I didn't even know what serve meant in those days, right? So what do you do if you don't know? I went and asked. I said, Pastor John, God, give me this word. What should I do? He said, don't worry, I'll tell you. I said, okay. And he's been telling me to this day. It's like we're married. He keeps telling me what to do. Now, I mentioned that we live in a world that thinks it's stupid to turn your life over to somebody else. They think, why are you letting everything go in your life to build somebody else up? Is that stupid? To the world, it is. What did Christ come to do? To be a servant. There's nothing greater. There's no greater honor than being a servant. You remember the story? If anybody wants a position of authority, they first have to be under authority. If you can't handle being under authority, I guarantee you can't handle being in authority. Also, I told you, God said, don't worry about what you're going to do, because I said, well, if I'm serving him, you know, what am I supposed to do? You call me to do something. He said, don't worry. I'll take care of that. And believe me, he has. I've had every opportunity in the world through this church and other places to speak and do. God has used me a lot, and every bit of it has been cheered on by the pastors or led by the pastors. There's no resentment there. It's just the opposite. Because we're all here to serve God and to build this church and build his kingdom, right? You had a hand up, Dwayne? I'm sorry. Sir, hold on, Ed's coming. Ed's getting a little old here, I don't know. He's been laying behind that desk too much. He's getting a little slow.
Who is Pastor John under authority to? Pastor John under authority?
Christ. That's the head of the church. That's where he gets his marching orders. Everybody gets marching orders from somebody. And Christ used that as an example, too. He said he didn't do anything unless he prayed to the Father, right? But the buck ends there. I don't think there's anybody with more authority than God that I know of. Sarge, that's a pretty high rank, isn't it? Okay. But that's something important. Pastor Don wasn't here last week, but I was going to use him as an example, and I'll throw it out here now, that he tells a story about going, he meets with a group of pastors, on has coffee, and, you know, any place there's food or coffee, Pastor Don will graciously be there. But he tells us a story about how sad it is that these guys have to do everything. That's it. They're burnt out. They're overworked. And Pastor Don is asking, well, don't you have somebody? Some of them might not, but then what's wrong? You should be raising people up. That's part of your job. And others might be afraid of relinquishing power, right? And that's not it. An armor bearer isn't there to be a power hog or anything like that. So what we had talked about, or what I made a list of, was, I think it was 11 things that a modern, in today's world, an armor bearer should be for his leader. And it's not just the pastor. Remember I said if you're in a home group, same way with your home group leaders. In Sunday school, the head of your class, the head of Sunday school, whatever, there's always somebody that you can help out and be under authority to. The first thing last week, I think we talked about three of them last week, as far as I got. The first was you must provide strength for your leader. You know, they need strength too. You might think that Pastor Don never has any problems. Because why? He's always coming in here happy and joyful, right? But he doesn't get his joy from outside things. He gets his joy from being in here and serving people and serving God. But bad things happen to Pastor Don. You know, one day he didn't get his coffee, terrible things like that. But you need to be there. To be an armor bearer, you need to be there at times to be strength for whoever your leader is. And that means that you have to have strength too. Because if your leader is always having to minister to you, how are you going to help him? So you got to bring your own strength to the table. Of course, through Christ is where we get our strength. Second, you must have a deep respect for your leader. If you don't deeply and truly love and respect who that person is, you can't be an armor bearer for them, and you definitely shouldn't, right? The third thing was, you must understand how your leader thinks. Now, I'm glad I used Pastor John as an example here, because I would hate to say I know how Pastor Don thinks. I don't know if Pastor Don knows how he thinks. But honestly, I can say I do on some matters, right? Because I've been around him, I see how he makes decisions, and I ask, well, why did you do this, or something like that. And that's how you get to understand where a person's coming from and how they make decisions. Why you would want to know that is to get ahead of the game. Quite often, Pastor John, because I know what Pastor John wants, different things and set up and so forth, he'll come and ask me, Bob, would you? I've already done. That's part of being that armor bearer, to know what your leader wants and trying to stay ahead of the game, right? Don't always ask for orders. Always follow orders, but don't always wait and ask for orders. You can get in ahead of the game. All right, so we're going to try and finish this off today. The next thing is we must walk in agreement and submission to your leader. Remember, all authority is ordained by God. Even your bosses at work, we're showed proper respect. As long as they're not asking us to do anything against the word of God, you respect it. God put them in that position. Nobody has a position anywhere in the world, saved or unsaved, unless God gave them that. Right? Same way when Joe goes in court, I'm sure there's a lot of judges you really don't care for. There might be some that you like better than others. We're not going to say don't care for. But you show them the same respect, right? Because you're respecting the authority that's them. Don't look at the person, look at the office. Anything other than that is actually rebellion. You're either in submission or rebellion, one or the other. There's like no in-betweens, or you can't bounce back and forth. Yes, you can. That's not questioning them. That's asking, why are you doing this, Pastor? Remember we talked before, one of the things was that you're not always going to be in agreement. But sometimes you're in agreement, we're always in agreement on what the end thing should be. But there's sometimes different opinions on how to get there, right? But once Pastor Don and Pastor John make up their mind, that's our marching orders, right, Eddie? Well, we can throw alternative things out there, but the final line, it's up to them. Once that decision is made, we're behind it 100%. But you can ask. You can throw out opinions and ideas, certainly.
I like when if we're in counseling with Pastor Don and we don't agree with what he says, and he sends us along.
Obviously, you're an error, but go on.
It happens a lot, obviously. So then you go home and you spend time in prayer and in the Word. And I don't know how God does it, but He changes your heart to what He says. Even if you have to go out and make those mistakes that you're going to make because you didn't agree with what He said. And then you come back and it actually is God brings you to alignment to what your pastor has said. I like that about that, how God does that.
Absolutely. The next thing, I'm sorry, Donna, forgive me.
I just wanted to, it's so important that we submit to our pastors because above them is God. And when we walk out of that submission, we walk out of our covering. And it's important that we're always covered by the Lord.
Good point, too. That by doing that, you're walking in God's purpose, plan, and will in your life. And if you're doing that, you're going to be covered. Fred?
All right. Well, just to go, Donna. Just to go what they was saying, I remember when I first came and it was, you know, I was kind of a hard-headed person, you know, thought I had it all sewn up, you know, and but it's just, and it's with the Holy Spirit, you know, that when Pastor Don talked, it was, you know, told me stuff, it sounded right, you know, it sounded true.
Yep.
You know, so it was hard to, even though you might have not agreed with, I mean, the first stuff, you know, is like, yeah, you know, when he tells me about the Bible, but when he starts telling you about, you know, what you have to do, you know, then you're like, well, I can't do that or, you know, but you know deep inside what he's saying is right.
That's right.
You know, so that's when you have to get before the Lord and, you know, and then, you know, have the Lord help you with the strength to do it.
Amen.
You know, but, yeah, the first thing is just knowing what he's saying is right. And it's biblical because Pastor Don, he'll give you 10 scriptures to back it up, you know. So,
other
so it's always good.
The Ed that does something. Did anybody not get a handout last week? I have them here. If you need one, just hold up your hand and it'll give it to you. It's got these 11 things on it that we're talking about here. You're absolutely right. Next thing, make the advancement of your leader your top priority. Right? Being a part, that's part of being an armor bearer, is to make sure that your priority is to see your leader grow, to advance. And there again, we think, well, what about my dreams? What about my goals? You know what God will tell you? Your goal is to build the kingdom, and he'll take care of everything else. And that's really happened in my life. Like I said, I've had so many opportunities that I couldn't even imagine to speak and go places and do things, right? That who am I to do any of this? I had mentioned that I had been speaking before at Providence Hospital in Southfield. The one in Novi asked me to come and speak there. I said, well, can't they get, you know, they have cancer patients there, cancer survivors. Couldn't they get one of them? Why did they come to me? That's God. The chaplain at Providence complained about me. He wanted to know, it's a Catholic hospital, he wanted to know, don't we have any good Catholics that can speak? But you know why I'm there? Because God wants me there, right? I'm not just going to talk about cancer. I'm going to talk about why I'm cancer-free. It's God, right? It's opening a door to minister. No matter what you're asked to come to speak about, any place you go, God is sending you there for a reason, and he's going to open doors for you to minister. The next thing. Yes, Pastor. Just stay over there.
Just stand right over here. There's a reciprocal relationship there, you know, that the leader has that vision for where he wants to go, but that leader should also have a vision for where he wants his people, you know, the men and the women that are under him, where they go. And you see, you know, some of the best coaches are men or women that raise up other coaches under them and then release them to be able to go and do whatever they have to do. You know, it's not keeping them all kind of in the family. And you look at some of the successful coaches, for example, like what's the guy from Alabama, Saban. You know, they're always after his assistant coaches, and a lot of them stay with him because of the success that they had. But the thing is, you know, do you have a coach or a leader that wants to keep everyone to himself, or do you have someone who's now dispersing them so that that organization can grow? I was reading the other day about Jesus doing all the miracles, you know, at the beginning of his ministry, and then he took his disciples and he sent them out, and now because he wanted to, you know, increase the scope of his ministry, and he was going to use these men, he was going to entrust these men. And were they going to make mistakes? Yeah. You know, they probably made a whole lot of mistakes, but they were faithful and they were empowered by him. And so there's that reciprocal relationship that, you know, that leader's going to instill the vision and give you the tools and allow you the opportunity. And on the other hand, you're trying to build that relationship there. And as Bob mentioned, you know, a lot of those pastors I meet with, they don't do that. They're doing everything. And you scratch your head and you go, what are you building? You know, is this, you know, because you're the minister and you're expected to do everything, or are you releasing that ministry to other men and women that are going to be able to help you build what God has called you to build? You can't do it all by your little lonesome. You just can't do it.
No, absolutely. Kathy.
This week I was at the book fair for the kids' school, and there's a art teacher, and she's had all four of my kids there. And so she just stopped me in the hall, and she said, I watched Paris's video of her singing, and it made me cry, so don't let her do that again. And I said, oh, I'm sure there'll
be
more.
That's good reasoning. Yeah.
And then she said, but, you know, now that I have you face-to-face, she said, I don't really get a lot of time to talk to you. She said, but I have to commend you, she said, because I don't know what it is about your kids, but they are wonderful children, and I've never had a problem out of them. She said, I have parents who have one or two kids, and they can't control them, and they're just not good in school, and I don't know what the deal is, but you have four, and you're always going, and can you tell me what it is? And I said, the only thing I have is that I'm raising them in the Lord, and that's all I can say. That's the only thing I have. And I said, and you can do all the right things and still have kids who make the wrong choices.
Oh, absolutely.
I said, but right now, I'm giving the glory to God because that's all I've got. So it was just, you know, like you said,
that's all you
it's
need.
A little bit of, and it wasn't a lot, but it was enough that, you know, I gave the glory to God, and that's the witness I was to her.
Amen. The next thing on the list is you must have endless strength if you want to be an armor bearer, because to get to your leader, Satan will go through you. You will be attacked just as much as your leader, so you have to have endless strength. And also, there's going to be times that you will feel that you're not appreciated. It's only human nature. But there are times that you're going to feel, well, you know, Pastor Don don't love me. Yeah, we'll hug it out. But no, you have to have endless strength, because you know it's not the truth, and you have to convince yourself, I know that isn't true. You know, that's not my fault. That's the enemy putting something in there. And move on. But you have to be a strong person to do that. Absolutely. That's it. That's a very important point Jill brought up. And the way to have endless strength is who? It's not our strength, is it? It's always God's strength. And now, how do we get that strength? We got to continually go to him, like Joe said, right? We're building his kingdom. You know, he wants to hear about it. Don't think you're bothering him. He's got plenty of time. Seventh thing. I'll run through these a little bit fast here. You must follow orders. If you can't follow orders, you can't be a good armor bearer. Right, Fred? That means taking care of things quickly and efficiently. If you're asked to do something by your leader, do it fast. Make that your top priority to get done. Right? Write things down. My wife always tells me this. I tell her, I'll never forget it. It's right up here. I don't forget it. It's up there. I just forgot where up there it is. But write things down. I always did that at work. I carried planners and stuff. I was big on that because I knew I had a bad memory. I get busy and doing stuff. Write things down. And if you don't understand, ask. So often somebody asks us to do something and we've done the wrong thing because we didn't understand what they wanted. Make sure you clearly understand what it is that they want. And then run with it. And whenever you give it an order, don't add or subtract from it. If you want to add or subtract, get permission first. You must help with spirit, number eight, you must help with spiritual support. Every leader needs a group of faithful men. This goes right along with Pastor Don was saying about this group that doesn't have this, of pastors. You must have a group of faithful supporters, upholders, sustainers, comforters, maintainers, and defenders that you know have your back. They have a lot of peace in that. You know, believe it or not, most leaders are human. They're just like us. You'll never make a good leader unless you learn to be a spiritual support to your leader. Remember, all of this is what I said. If you want to be a leader, you have to be under authority. God won't give you authority unless you're under authority. And you're always under authority. Right, Fred? Number nine. Well, Fred just fits in. I'll let Fred do this teaching. Number nine. You must communicate well. If you want to be a help to your leader, say especially in some, even at work or at church, and we're speaking mainly about church at this time, you have to communicate well. You don't have to be the smartest cookie in the jar, but you have to be able to communicate well because he's going to ask you to go to people and say things, go to people and ask things, right? You have to have an ability there. You can't just run over. Pastor John said you need to go put them cones out. Walk off. You know, there are people that bring stuff like that. I've seen people like that. You have to learn to communicate with people, right? You don't have to tell them the pastor sent you. They should know that. If you're his iron bearer, they know that. You don't have to tell them that. What was that? I don't know. I don't listen to it. He'll try and put me to work for it. Yes, Alma. Are you yawning or? Both? Okay, go ahead. Okay. Am I boring you?
No.
Okay.
A little
early. How would we have known that? Our breakfast was late.
Good thing she got up early.
I know. So, do you know, like, if you're someone's armor bearer, how do you know? And is there a recognition of that? I'm your armor bearer, or I'm not, or...
It's
not something that needs to be told or said or
yes, absolutely,
it's
absolutely. Remember, I told the story of David where he went to Saul, right? And he made him his armor bearer. Go to your leader. You don't have to use the word armor bearer. Go to your leader and say, "How can I serve you? What do you need help in? What can I do? If there's ever anything I can do, let me know." That's what it is. You're not going to carry his helmet and sword around, right? That's what we're talking about in a modern context here. Is being there as a physical and spiritual help both, right? Number 10, you must have the right disposition. You know, not everybody is born with a sweet disposition like Pastor Don. You know, some people have a little bit of a problem with that, right? And if you're representing somebody else, which you're doing, if you're serving somebody and they're asking you to go do things for them and stuff like that, they're judging your leader by you. You have to have the right disposition, right? You don't run in. You don't demand, right? Just use common sense. Treat them as you would have them treat you. Think of if I wanted somebody had to come and tell me something, how would I like them to do it, right? It's just common sense. But common sense is what? Biblical sense is the only real common sense, right? How does the word say we're supposed to treat each other? Go with that. Number 11 is a catch-all for everything, but the most important. You must have their back. They must believe that, too, and know it. That's the most important thing. You can't be effective if your leader doesn't trust you. And you can't be effective if you don't trust your leader. It's a two-way street. They have to believe that you have the best for them and the church as a whole, right? We make decisions based on God has put us here in this church, right? It's our job to what? Build this church. But by building each other up and raising people up, what are you doing? You're raising up people that are going to be future leaders that are going to help the church, right? So what we're talking about is building the church up as we're building each other up, because we are the church, right? So there's 11 things. This is not just for men. This is for women, too. Anyone that you're in a ministry that there's somebody over you, go ask them today. Is there anything I can help you with? You know, tell them what your skills are. I'm pretty good at this or that. Maybe I could help with this or that. Or if nothing else, here I am. What can I do? You want me to pack something? I'll carry something, whatever. But be there for them. Let them know that they're not alone. That's one of the main things. We're not in this alone. Nobody is, right? We're all in this together. To what? Build his kingdom. Amen? Amen. All right, Ed. Who'd like to close us today? Give it to Donna, please. Ed, she volunteered.
Lord God, we just thank you for today, Lord. We thank you that we could come here and not only be physically fed, but, Father, spiritually. And, Father, I pray the words that Bob spoke today, Lord, that they would permeate our heart, Lord God, and that we would put it to work, Lord God. And, Father, that we would know that we're all in this together, Father, and that we need to support each other as well as our pastors, Lord. And Father, we just thank you. We thank you for direction. We thank you for our pastors, Lord God, and their wives, Lord. And we just thank you for today. I pray as we go into worship, Lord, that we would honor and glorify you, Lord, because you are worthy, Father. And we give you today, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.